What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another live edition of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, and tonight we are going to be doing the usual fantasy talk, even though fantasy baseball season has just begun. The fantasy season, or the MLB season, just began. Big times. Cliff Lee's now having a big start. We're going to talk about that. So let's dive right into it. And actually, really quick, it's only going to be a half an hour show tonight. There is the Melba Beals retirement celebration that is going to be airing on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu for this amazing event. She, I just want to say a few words that she touched my heart. She really helped me out with my, because I'm part of Torch, which is the program that she began, and she really helped everybody get started, and she really did a lot of great things for this place, and for Dominican is what I mean by this place. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you did for us, MOBA, and we all love you, and thank you for everything that you've done. So diving into the first segment, which is, as usual, fantasy basketball. The daily leaders for tonight, Tony Parker of the San Antonio Spurs are playing the Pacers, which is a pretty big game with playoffs coming up. And they're in the fourth quarter right now, but Tony Parker has 22 points, 3 assists, and a rebound. He's 100% from the free throw line, which, as I say every time, free throws are crucial. And he's 10 of 17 from the field. But Tony Parker's having himself a great game. He's been on and off with injuries a little bit, but, I mean, he's really having a good game for himself today, leading the way with 22 points for his team. And maybe, actually, it's a game high, so he's having a really good night. Coming up next on our list is not a big surprise, but it's LeBron James. And he has 21 points, and they are just got out of half. So there's still 10 minutes left in the third quarter. And he has 21 points, 1 steal, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and a 3-pointer. And he is 6-6 from the free throw line, and he's 7-9 from the field. So he is doing well for his team as well. And he still has a lot more time in this game. I think that he's going to be able to go for 40 tonight if he keeps up this pace. And then next we have Paul Millsap of the Atlanta Hawks. I almost said Atlanta Falcons there. I almost got my football mixed in with my basketball. So then we have Paul Millsap. He has 18 points on the night with 2 steals, 3 assists, and 10 rebounds, double-double. He's doing very well for his team. He has also a 3-pointer, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. So it's not really where you want to be, but I mean, still really good for his team. And then also he's 6-10 from the field, and they are playing the 76ers, and they're also just got out of the break. There's still a lot of time left in the second half, so you could see him potentially maybe going for a triple-double if he starts passing the ball a lot more. But for sure has a double-double. He can't take away points or rebounds. And then next we have Paul George. And Paul George is doing all right. He only has 16 points so far, even though it's the fourth quarter. So for a man like Paul George, you always want to see him with huge numbers, and he has 16 points. But I mean, you want to see a man of his stature at least in the 20s each game. I mean, I know he's not Kevin Durant, but I mean, you gotta start providing more for your team. Even though he does have 6 rebounds and 5 assists, so he is facilitating the ball very well with his team, but you really have to be the scorer as well. And he's 5 of 8 from the free throw line, and he's 5 of 11 from the field. Paul George has been a huge, huge playoff player, fantasy player for teams. Even though he is not on his best game tonight, his bad game is nearly a double-double, or nearly a triple-double. He's still a great player, easily first-round pick. It's no question about it. But I'm just saying that he should be able to push up those bigger points. And they're kind of falling off a little bit right now, but I think that they're for sure going to be top two seed in the Eastern Conference. And then next we have Adrian, and he plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he has 16 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist, and he is 2-2 from the free throw line. It gives you a percent after you see the free throw line, and every time you see 100%, you feel good about that player. It's just a big confidence boost. And then next we have Lance Stevenson, and he has 15 points with 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and 3 3-pointers, so it's the trifecta. And then he has no free throw attempts, and he's 6 of 12 from the field, so he's shooting pretty well for his team. He's putting up good numbers. And then we have Martell Webster, and he plays for Washington Wizards, and they're playing the Bobcats, and he has 14 points in the fourth quarter with 3 blocks, 3 steals, and 3 assists with 2 rebounds and 4 3-pointers. That is a huge stat line for Thaddeus Young. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just reading the wrong list. But Martell Webster has 2 3-pointers with 2 rebounds and 1 assist. But anyways, Thaddeus Young, my goodness gracious, he's doing very well. I mean, 3 blocks, 3 steals, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, and 4 threes. And he's 2 of 2 from the free throw line and 4 of 7 from the field. Thaddeus Young is doing very well for his team right now. And they're playing the Atlanta Hawks. He plays for the 76ers. And then we have Kemba Walker, who is a phenomenal player, tremendous athlete. And Kemba Walker has 14 points, 1 block, 1 steal, 7 assists with 3 rebounds, 4-4 from the free throw line. He's always been a consistent free throw shooter. I mean, being able to put up those points, I mean, he's money. And then we have Kemba Walker, who has 14 points. Oh, I'm sorry, Bradley Beal. We have Bradley Beal next with 14 points. No blocks, no steals, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, and a 3 with 4-for-4 from the free throw line. So he's also shooting the ball pretty well. And then because we're pressed for time, we're going to have to jump right into the fantasy baseball segment. The good news about this is that we don't have any commercial breaks, so I'll just be able to go straight for a half an hour telling you guys all my opinions, and it'll be great. So now for the fantasy baseball segment. As I said, Cliff Lee gave up 8 runs in their loss. I don't know if he was actually pitching for the game-winning grants or 3-run home run, but he gave up a lot of runs. And if you do have Cliff Lee, I am very sorry, but nothing we could do now, so that's just a tough break. And then we have, for this next segment, we're going to be doing the baseball segment. We're going to continue with the process of the projections, because there's a lot of people that still have not yet been able to draft their teams yet. So I'll still be going through them for the rest of this semester and getting all the information out to you guys. So this next one, we are on to the first baseman. And this is, the number one is a Arizona Diamondback, and it's Paul Goldschmidt, who we did talk about in the very first show. He was in the top 10 fantasy players, which it does make sense to have one player from each position being in the top 10, but Paul Goldschmidt is a great first baseman, really, really great player. He's going for 117 RBIs, which is less than what he had last year, but anything over 100 is huge for your team. And then he's going for 34 home runs, is what they have him projected for, although he had 36 last year, so they do have him going for downgrades. But his downgrades, which are his projections, are still higher than any of the upcoming, like 2, 3, and 4, their positions. So Paul Goldschmidt, for sure take him first round for first baseman. Make him your first pick for the first baseman, and make sure that he will be able to provide for your team and put up those numbers that you need. And if you cannot get Paul Goldschmidt, then number two is Chris Davis, who was the home run man just a couple years ago. Not even a couple years ago, just last year and 2 years ago. So he is for sure, I think, going to come out again with something to prove. And he's been a breakthrough player. He's always a powerful hitter and one who planted the seeds in 2012. He belted 53 home runs last year. Only 16 players in history have hit more in a single year. He did this in two ways. He improved his plate coverage, hitting 19 of the homers with a .338 batting average on pitches that were out in the outside third. So he was taking the ball, and anybody who could take the ball and also pull the ball, that's a very dangerous hitter, and that's what makes Chris Davis so dangerous at the plate, and that's why he is so high up here on this fantasy baseball list, because of his attributes that he can bring to the team and that he can really use and facilitate very well and get those runs, get those RBIs, bring the guys in from home plate. And it's very, very, very important that you guys get RBIs for your team, because that stat line could really get up high, and you want somebody who could put up high numbers, and Chris Davis is one of the players that is able to do that. So for number three, we have Edward Encarnacion. And Edward Encarnacion took eight big league seasons, but the Toronto Blue Jays finally in 2012 isolated Encarnacion's best skills. He's a pullover slugger with a good batting eye, and the team embraced those abilities, knowing that their home venue, which is Rogers Center, could harness them. So they really could bring him into his own player and, as it says, use his own powers as his strengths. So use his strength as his strengths. And although it's not really good, I mean, you're going to be taking away from his bad batting or from his weaknesses, but still you have somebody who can use his strengths and that will be very productive while using his strengths for the team. And they found a way with Edward Encarnacion for the Toronto Blue Jays to bring him in and use those strengths, and that's why he will be doing very well this year for the Toronto Blue Jays. So number four, we have Prince Fielder, the Texan. They're the Ranger. It's always weird seeing him not being a Brewer anymore. But anyways, Prince Fielder, great first baseman. He could snag balls, but we're not really here to talk about his snagging balls. We're here to talk about his batting and his power and his strength. In one or more unexpected moves of the offseason, Fielder was traded by the Detroit Tigers to the Texas Ranger, where he'll not only reap the benefit of fresh surroundings, but the ballpark that's more favorable for the left-handed hitters. So he'll be able to bring in his pulling, because he just turns his hips so quickly and just shreds the ball, and he just takes it down the line. If you really notice his hip strength and his hip speed, it's very quick. He just snaps them through, and those hands just follow. Very great batting mechanics, and that's what makes him such a powerful and great hitter for his team. So I would very highly suggest you guys getting Prince Fielder, even though he is joining a new ball club. I think that he's going to be able to do what he does, and that's hit the ball deep and bring in runs. So he does not he strikes out on average. Like, it's not too high or it's not too low. It's only 111 they have him projected for this year, which over 100 is kind of bad, but the other players that are on this list, they have him projected for 120 strikeouts or 130 strikeouts. So where he is right now, I think that he's in a good spot and he'll be fine with where he is. So now for number five, we have Joey Votto, who is a Cincinnati Reds first baseman. And he is the Votto debate, which will be one of the scoring format philosophies. His penchant for walks makes him a highly attractive asset in one or more modern. So he can really use his walks to bring in runs. And I'm pretty sure those actually count for RBIs as well. If the bases are loaded and he gets walked and they bring in a run, I'm pretty sure that batter gets the RBI. And using that as a strength is huge for a team, because if you could bring in a player who can hit the ball deep but can also get on base and use a lot of walks when needed, I mean, to compare the walks, Prince Fielder and the man below him who we're going to talk about next, which is Freddie Freedman, they both have 80 and 60 for walks. Joey Votto is projected for 127 walks. He had 135 last year. So he really has a very good eye. Although that eye kind of switches over to his strikeouts as well, with 127 strikeouts. So I think that he is a great player. I mean, he doesn't need to prove himself anymore. I mean, he's Joey Votto. You know his name. He can really hit well. He can do what he needs to do when it comes down to it. And I think that Joey Votto is going to be a great asset to the Reds, as he has been for many years already. But I think that he's going to be a great asset for your fantasy baseball team if you pick him up. There's so many great first basemen out there that it's really, you can just pick and choose. It's free pickings. I mean, you want to go for Paul Goldschmidt and those high guys up there. But, I mean, we're down to like the six first baseman, and he is a great player. So we're still very – the first base depth chart in the Major League Baseball is very, very deep. So you could have any one of these players, and you'll be fine with your fantasy baseball team. So I would say that first basemen are not really the main priority, but they should not be overlooked compared to like an outfielder or something of that, because a first baseman can do what a right fielder does, although a right fielder could steal bases more, but the first baseman could also steal bases. It's just you usually see the first baseman not as, they just don't have as much range as the outfielders, and that's why the first baseman aren't really as big and as important as the other ones. But to continue moving down to number six, we're on Freddie Freedman, and he's a legit contender for the National League MVP, and he had a breakthrough 2013. He enjoyed a 60-point bump in batting average, and not simply on the strength of his BABIP luck, his .371 ranked fifth among qualifiers. So he is a very, very good batter, and he could really bring in runs. So now we have Eric Hosmer, and he plays for the Kansas City Royals. And it took 330 big league games spread over a little more than two calendar years. But late last season, Hosmer finally developed into the premier hitter that scouts forecasted for him. So he's really coming to his own, and as I said, it's getting very, very deep in depth now. You could really, I mean, Albert Pujols is number 9 on the first baseman list. So Eric Hosmer is still a very good pick. Do not underestimate him. He's really coming into his own, and he's going to be bringing what he's going to be bringing to this Royals team what they all thought he was going to be bringing a while ago. But here it comes right now, and I think that everybody's going to be ready for it, and he's going to have a great season this year. So now we have number 9, Albert Pujols. And, I mean, this guy, he's for sure going to be on the ballot of a Hall of Famer after 12 consecutive seasons of first ballot Hall of Fame statistics. So he's not even really worried, but he's still trying to play, and he's still trying to put up those huge numbers that he really wants to get back to after he got traded. And I think that he is a really, I mean, I think that as an Angel, he is going to be very, very good. And this Angel team is going to have this Angel ball club is going to have a very good year and put it all together. And Albert Pujols is going to be right there with them and have a great season, just to show that he's not just the elderly man, and he's the wise man, and he still has the strength to put the ball out of the park. And now, finally, we have number 10, Adrian Gonzalez, the former Red Sox. And he is now, or has been for a while, Los Angeles Dodger. And although no longer he gets that a lot of strikeouts, he's cutting back on it, which is really good, which is what you want to see. And Adrian Gonzalez is just going to – I think that at this point, I don't really trust Adrian Gonzalez that much, to be honest. I think that, yeah, he's a good player, but I think that he's not going to be – because he gets a lot of strikeouts. I mean, I think that they have him projected for way less than it should be. I think he's going to strike out a lot more than they have him projected for, just to put it that way. But that will do it for this segment. And this is now the final segment. I'm not going to be able to get to do the final recap. So we're now into the fantasy hockey segment, and as you guys know, or if you guys can remember the show, it's fantasy hockey segment where you're going to be talking about the injury for the NHL players around the year, around the league, I apologize. And Bryce Salvador is the first on the list. He's a day-to-day. Salvador has a lower body injury. He will not play Monday against the Panthers, so tonight he will not be in the starting lineup. Sit him out, pick up another defender. There is usually the most, the players that get injured the most, I should say, are the ones who are the most physical, which makes plenty of sense. I mean, but yeah, the defender is usually the ones who get the most injured, and they need to protect their body so they can last out longer. It's usually the lower body that gets hit. I mean, next is Anton Volchenvik. Volchenkov. I'm very sorry. And he also has a lower body, and he will not be playing for the Panthers. So the first and second stringers for this New Jersey Devils club is not going to be playing. So they need to be taken out of the lineup, make sure that they're not in there. And then we have Darcy Kuemper, and he is a Minnesota Wild player. Kuemper sustained an upper body injury during Monday's morning skate. So this morning he was doing a skate around, and he just tweaked something. He hurt something. And he will miss the game with the Kings tonight. Michael Russo of the Minneapolis Star Tribune reports. So he's going to be out. He's a goalie. And then we have John Moore, who's a New York Ranger. Moore has a concussion, and he needs one or more practices before he'll be ready to return to the lineup. So he is also out. He's going to be – I mean, concussions are nothing to trifle with. You really need to take care of your body, make sure that you have everything that you need to be mentally prepared to take on another team, because you can't go out there with a concussion and just re-injure it. Because you never know how much serious it could be. So then we have Ville Lino, and he's a Buffalo Saber. And Lino is illness, and he's expected to play Tuesday against the Devils. So he is out, and he is another defender. Or I'm sorry, he's a left wing. Kimmo Timonen is a defender, and he plays for the Philadelphia Flyers. And Timonen has an upper body injury, and he did not travel with the St. Louis ball club or hockey club. So he's out indefinitely as well. And then we have Steve Downey, who also plays for the Flyer. And Downey's head, and he won't play Thursday against the Blues. So he is also out. Again, serious injuries with the head. They're very serious. And then we have P.A. Parento. And he's a right winger for the Colorado Avalanche. And he has a knee injury. And he's expected to return either for the regular season finale or the start of the playoffs, because the Colorado Avalanche will be in the playoffs. So next we have Rafi Torres. And he's a San Jose Sharks player. Boo Sharks. Just kidding for all you the San Francisco fans and the San Jose fans. But Torres has soreness and will be out in the lineup indefinitely as the Sharks take on the Oilers on Tuesday. So he'll be on, he'll be out to today and tomorrow, but he will be coming back and be in the line or out of the lineup. I'm sorry. So he's going to be out today and tomorrow. Will not be playing on Tuesday against the Blues or the Oilers. He's out. And then we have Eric Cole, and he's a Dallas Stars player. And he has an upper body injury, and he will miss another game on Tuesday, but is traveling with the team on their four-game road trip. So although Eric Cole will be not playing on tomorrow, the Tuesday, he will be coming back, and he will be playing for the team on their four-game road trip. So now we have Al Montoya, and he's a Winnipeg Jets, and he's a goalie for them. And he has an unspecified issue. He wasn't on the ice for Monday morning skate around, so they don't really know what is going on. And then we have Luke Gazdick, and he is an Oiler. And Gazdick is slated to undergo season-ending shoulder. Oh my gosh, he has season-ending shoulder surgery this week. I wish him the best on his injury. I hope he has a very speedy recovery. It's a tough break for that hockey team. So now we have Kimmo Timonen, and he's a Philadelphia Flyer. And Timonen is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Nothing too serious. He should be able to come back for their next game. And then we have Paul Martin, who's a Pittsburgh Penguin. Go Pangs. And Martin's hand returned to a full practice on Monday, so he's back in the lineup. And he will be able to play for the Penguins on their next game. So now we have Nathan Horton, who's a Columbus Blue Jacket. And he has a lower body issue, and he will not be playing against the Avalanche. So he is out indefinitely for tomorrow's game, and he will not be playing. He will not be participating. And then we have Jason Spezza, who's an Ottawa Senator. And he has an unspecified issue as well. And he will sit out on Monday against the Hurricanes. And then we have Matt Duchene. And he's a Colorado Avalanche player. Duchene will be out 4 weeks with a knee injury that he sustained Saturday. So he's also out indefinitely. He's going to be missing the next 4 weeks. So over a month. So pick up another center if you can. If you could find one on the free agency wire. Very crucial that you do, because this Colorado Avalanche team is looking for another one. You could pick up the second string if you need to. Or there's also many players on the waiver wire if you are looking. And then finally we have Colin Greening, and he is another Ottawa Senator. And Greening, who is dealing with a lower body injury, is slated to miss some time. It's undisclosed. They don't really have a specific time lapse of how far he will be out for. But I think that they have him listed day-to-day, but for the severity of the injury, I would say that it's nothing too serious. It may just be some lower body soreness. So also find another left winger. And that will be doing it for my show, the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports, only on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse. Thank you all for listening.